Well, that story that was read in the text today, the scripture reading, and that you've got it right in front of you there in the middle of the worship folder, it's a passage that talks about Jesus is still setting people free. And you know the theme that I've had throughout this whole sermon series in the book of Acts. This theme has always been about Jesus is not done yet. He's still working, and he's still doing the things that he was doing while he was here, setting people free. Jesus came to do this because a loving God's prescription, and this is my theme here if you want to know it, a loving God's prescription for human bondage is liberation. I'll read it again. A loving God's prescription for human bondage is liberation. And Jesus came to fulfill the words of Isaiah 61:1. Listen to this. He said this, and he actually quoted it, and he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," because he was standing right there. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners." Jesus is still here, still doing that. He's still doing these things. His indwelling presence inside of us. He dwells within us. And His presence indwelling us calls us to this ministry of seeing people set free, releasing people. Paul and Silas had just cast out a spirit from a slave girl, bringing her release from demonic slavery. You know, they had just done that. And I want to read that passage. It comes before this one. And this is why they're in prison, actually. "Once, when we were..." And it says "we" because Luke was present in the group, and there was more than just Paul and Silas, but because they were the leaders, they got in prison. "Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities." Now, Paul, it says, was troubled by this girl that kept coming and saying, "These are the men that preach the way of salvation." Oh, boy. You know, servants of the Most High God. And she kept saying this over and over again. And it says that Paul was troubled. The word in the Greek means he was getting worked up. That's what it says. He was worked up. That's what the word means. And he was not worked up by her words. They were true words. They were really, she was actually telling the truth. He was worked up because of the source. He was worked up because of the source. She spoke not from the Holy Spirit. She spoke from a demonic spirit. And Satan, he exploits the truth. Satan knows the Bible, and he uses the Bible sometimes with people. But Satan exploits the truth as a disguise for himself. And in 2 Corinthians it says this, he, Satan, masquerades as an angel of light. That's what he does. He dresses up in light sometimes. And what he's trying to do, he's trying to protect his dark realm from the true light of God by, and how he does this, is presenting this idea that good and evil are on the same team. Yeah, that was happening there. Oh, we're on the same team. This girl that I'm possessing, that this girl that was demon possessed, who was actually announcing and saying, telling the truth, you know, she was being used. But this was an evil thing, and this is what Jesus came to set people free from demons and sin and everything else that binds people up. And so Satan was trying to do this, and this slave girl was helpless. She was helpless under the control of this demon. But Paul knew that Jesus was not finished yet casting out demons, you know? So he said to this spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, and he didn't speak to the girl. He spoke to the spirit. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. Her demonic slavery was over. Now, this didn't mean that her physical slavery was over. She was still a slave girl, owned by these owners, but boy, her owners hated the fact that she had been delivered from a fortune-telling spirit. They hated it. Why? Because their hope of making money was gone. Their hope of making money off this slave girl was gone. You know, they were like the modern human traffickers. And you know, that's what we're facing today around the world. In this country, too, on the sly, we have human trafficking going on almost in every state of the Union. It's going on everywhere, and it's going on around the world. And these slave owners were just like these human traffickers. They were slaves themselves to the god of money. They didn't know it, but they were in bondage. They were slaves to the god of money. And they were treating their fellow human beings, as they do today, as objects. Not as persons made in the image of the Creator. And that's what's so awful and terrible about this human trafficking. People are being treated as objects, like machines. And then they're not being honored and the dignity of being made in the image of the Creator. And, you know, today people talk about dealing with their inner demons. Have you heard of that? Well, I've been dealing with my demons. Have you? You know, that just struck me when I was looking at this. You know, people are talking about their demons. And what are they talking about? They're talking about their negative attitudes, their emotional bad habits, or things like that. This girl was dealing with a real demon, and some of these people probably are too, and they don't know it. But this girl was really dealing with the real demon, the kind that Jesus used to cast out when he was walking the earth. And guess what? Some people say, oh, he's not doing that anymore. Jesus doesn't do that anymore. Well, this incident shows that he does. He does. After he's gone from here, he's still doing it in us. He did it in Paul. He can do it through us too. And he's not done yet. Jesus is still liberating people who have demonic slavery. He's still doing it. And now the physical and the spiritual, the psychological causes of that kind of bondage, they need to be addressed. But if you address them in Jesus' name, you know, you're going to come up against not being politically correct. And even Paul and Silas got into political hot water when they were doing this. You know, they were liberating this girl. And their liberating message. Now, the message that they were bringing was a liberating message. This liberating message seemed to be restrained, seemed to be curtailed for a while. You know, it just seemed to be for a while. Until their release from restraining circumstances. And this is another point. Sometimes we have circumstances that restrain us from doing good. You know, and we say, oh, what am I going to do now? You know, look in the verses here, what happened to them. The crowd joined in the attack. This is before this passage in our worship folder. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, the circumstances, you know, that were restraining circumstances, being thrown into prison, those circumstances surrounding the slave girl's mighty deliverance by God became Paul and Silas's restraining circumstances. The circumstances around this healing, around this deliverance of the girl, became their own limiting circumstances of imprisonment. You know, and that can happen to us. We can try to do good, and it seems like evil comes back at us, you know. But the circumstances surrounding this, these limiting circumstances, they were harsh. They were painful. I mean, they were really flogged severely and beaten. They said they used to take their clothes off and just beat them. There was no clothing in between the lashes. They were really, really beaten hard. And so they were in pain. It was a harsh thing, but they didn't give up. They didn't give up and they didn't give in. In verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. The other prisoners were listening to what they were saying. Now, God can turn any attempts to restrict the gospel, he can turn them into opportunities to spread the gospel. And the official efforts were this, to guard them carefully. And they did this by putting them in the inner cell, right in the center of the prison, so that what? Everybody around them could hear what they said. Everybody around them in the prison could hear it all. Now, isn't that funny? They didn't know what they were doing, but they thought, we're going to really nail these guys. We're going to put them in solitary, right in the center of the prison, right where everybody could hear them singing and praising God, you know. And you know what? Here's the situation. How can Christians, people might ask this, about Paul. How can Christians keep on faithfully praying and joyously singing in situations that appear out of God's control? It looks like this is out of God's control. How can they keep on praying faithfully, singing joyously? It's because appearances, mere appearances, aren't the ultimate reality. Remember this. Things that appear are not the ultimate reality. Jesus told that to Pilate. When it says, here's what Pilate said. Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said. Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? Jesus answered, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. That is the answer. Nobody has any kind of power down here unless God permits it. You know? And you know what? We need to hold on to that. What appears to be is not always ultimate reality. And what did he tell us? Here's what Jesus tells us in John 6, one of my favorite scriptures, John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Yes, you're going to have circumstances that are troubling circumstances, limiting circumstances, restraining circumstances. I tell you now that's going to happen. But be of good cheer. I have told you these things so that you can have peace. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if you're with me, we're overcomers. We're overcomers. As we see Paul and Silas being overcomers here. So, do circumstances have the final word? You know, the circumstances that seem to restrain us, do they have the final word? No. Jesus always has the final word. Now, release or being set free from restraining circumstances begins with peace. It begins with peace in Christ in our hearts. And it shows up in prayer and praise. That's how the peace shows up in our lives, in prayer and praise. And then it ends up overcoming the world. That's what Jesus is wanting us to have, this overcoming spirit victory, right? So, we may not always see the victory. We may not always see how it's going to work out right. We will eventually in heaven, but it just so happens that Paul and Silas did get to see the victory. They did get to see it. While they were singing hymns, such an earthquake came that all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Now, they were released. It looked like they were released, and here's the situation. That release was not just what God was after. He was after something else. That release led to a more important release for the jailer and his household, for his family. It was a release from sin's bondage, and that's the whole message of the gospel. A release from sin's bondage. With the prison doors open, with the prisoners liable to escape, the jailer was ready to kill himself. Circumstances had changed. What had ended his control, this earthquake, what had ended his control of the situation now imprisoned him in suicidal thoughts. Things had turned. The whole table had turned. Now he was thinking, I'm the one in prison. I'm going to kill myself. You know, all the prisoners are going to escape. I'm going to kill myself. And listen to what Paul says in verse 28. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. Don't harm yourself. We're all here. Don't harm yourself. Did you know that God has been saying that to us since the Garden of Eden? Don't harm yourself. Do you think God makes a list of rules and all these things so that we can have a hard thing to do? No, he wants to protect us from harming ourselves. We're made in God's image. We're supposed to live the way that God lives, in holiness, in following truth and light. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the only way we really survive. That's the only way we can really live. We live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We live. And if we don't live that way, we are harming ourselves. So God's word to us has been from the very beginning, don't harm yourself. People often ignore his word. They often ignore him. Maybe until he shakes them up with an earthquake. Some kind of circumstance in their lives that upsets their control of things. You know? And then he sends also messengers. Now, just a shake-up is not going to do it. You have to hear the truth, you know. So, this man went from lethal despair, despair that would have killed him, to saving hope. And it went that fast. It changed that fast. From going towards death to going towards life. And you know something? That's how the gospel is. It turns us completely around. The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Silas and Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, what had convicted him? What had convinced him that he needed salvation? Was it Paul's unjust imprisonment and his involvement with the system that made that imprisonment happen? That could have been it. Was it maybe comparing Paul's kindness to the slave girl, setting her free, compared to his hard-heartedness? He didn't care. He was sleeping. He had gone to sleep when all this was happening. You know, he didn't worry about, oh, I've done something wrong putting this man in prison, you know. Or maybe it was that Silas and Paul had real faith in God and he didn't. He might have been an atheist. I don't know. But he didn't have that kind of faith. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, we don't know what the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit brought conviction to him, and we don't need to. And we don't need to know how anybody gets convicted. We don't need to know that. What we need to know is why we are where we are. When we're in a situation, we need to know why we're there. We are there because God has us there. Anywhere we are is where God has us if we're following Him. So, where we are, and we need to know what to say, and we need to know when to speak it, when to say it. They replied, this is what they were ready for this. They wanted to tell this man the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Now, that was the gospel truth, but it was also a prophecy, a true prophecy, what was going to happen. Then they spoke the word of God to them and all the others in his house. Then immediately he and his whole family were baptized. The jailer was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, and he and his whole family had. That's amazing. That's amazing. A loving God's prescription for human bondage is liberation. It's liberation. It may begin with spiritual warfare. It may begin with people being freed from demonic slavery like this young slave girl. But that kind of freedom must also lead to a relationship with Christ. It can't just stop with, I've had the demon cast out. Well, what's going to be inside now? You need Jesus on the inside. Then also, this divine liberation, this divine liberation may start with circumstances that seem to be, oh, I can't do nothing for Christ here. And all of a sudden, we're liberated from that and we see, yes, we can. Yes, we can do something for Christ. Circumstances that seem to restrain us from good plans and programs. But when God sets us free from that, that's not His real objective. If you think about it. Just getting us free now I can move around, you know. That's not His objective. What His objective is, He's after our release from sin's bondage and help us to relieve others from sin's bondage. Not just personal sins, but release from the self-will that causes sins. Things that gets us all bound up so that we are in a sinful lifestyle. And God is still saying this to us. He says, don't harm yourself. Don't do the things that's going to hurt you. I'm trying to get you to do the right thing. And how are we going to stop? There's only one way to stop, and He's provided the way. It's through Christ. It's through Christ. Through His death, we can experience a death to our old self, our old nature, our old way of doing things. We can let it go to the cross. We can let it die. And then we can come alive in Christ. We can come alive in our new self, a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what salvation is all about. So, as we look at this story, there's been a lot of releases, a lot of setting free, a lot of deliverances going on. Jesus is not done yet doing releases, doing forgiveness, doing liberation, doing deliverance. He's not done yet. He's not done with the people around us, and He's not done with us. He's going to keep setting us free more and more and more. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for this really great illustration of what You are still doing today. You're setting people free. Lord, we get into situations where we see no way out. We see like we're totally in concrete. Our feet are in concrete. And then all of a sudden You'll send an earthquake and bang, the concrete's broken and we're able to go where we need to go. Lord, help us to see that no appearances deceive, that nothing that we see in front of us that seems to block us, circumstances, situations, difficulties, things that may even be diseases that seem to stop us. Lord, You're going to set us free. You're going to let us to keep on ministering salvation to others and finding it ourselves. Let us do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.